Morning. It is a pleasure to be here this morning and a pleasure to be bringing you your lesson this morning. This morning, we are going to take a deep look into a man that has sinned in his prayer to correct himself before God. We are going to study King David after his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. It is important for us to study repentance. The reason for this is that sin affects us all. Either we sin ourselves, or as Christians, we are sinned against in this world. This is an evil world, and sin will affect all of us in many ways. I don't believe it is enough sometimes to simply say we are sorry for a sin. Far too great of a price was paid on the cross for the remission of our sin. Sometimes just a simple sorry for something we have done might not be enough. And we need to take a deeper look into ourselves and find the core root of these problems that cause us to step over the line. We do have a lot to cover this morning. And this is a big topic, a much bigger topic than I was expecting when I started to study it. I hope that something that is brought forth this morning is something that will enlighten you to go home and study for yourself, because there is a lot that needs to be learned by all on this topic. But for this morning, we are going to start with the prayer that David gave in Psalms 51, verses 1 through 6 is our text. Here David writes, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Verse 4, against thee and thee only I have sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part of thou shalt make me to know wisdom." That being correctly read is our text for this morning. We now have a great and wonderful opportunity to go to our Lord in prayer. I'd ask if you would humble yourselves in some manner while the one selected leads us in that prayer. It is clear that after reading our text this morning, obviously something bad has happened. David has sinned against God. We need to look at his sin today to completely understand why he penned such a deep chapter in the Bible. But before we do that, I want to tell you a little bit about David and his present situation. David and the children of Israel had just defeated the Assyrians in battle and driven them out. And they still had one more enemy to fight, and that was the children of Ammon. And David had sent his armies under the leadership of Joab after the children of Ammon. And they had defeated them and chased them into a city known as Rehob. And there they besieged the city in their battle against the children of Ammon. It is important to remember that David at this point is at the height of his career. He has everything he has ever wanted. In fact, God tells him later on, as we'll read in the scriptures, "I gave you everything you ever wanted, and still, if that would not have been enough, I would have given you more, things you didn't even know that you wanted." But it is hard for people sometimes to be at the top. It is hard for some people to remember where they came from once they reach the top. And I believe that sometimes when a person reaches the top, they start to think that maybe they are a little bit past being able to still commit sins. And I think that David maybe struggled with some of these same tendencies, as we'll see later on today. The story of David and Bathsheba quite simply goes like this. And you can turn, if you'd like, and read it in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It covers the entire chapter, and I'm not going to read that today, but I will give you a brief overview of the story of David and Bathsheba. As David's armies are off in battle at Rehob, as we had just mentioned, David is out walking one evening on the roof of his house, and he sees a woman bathing herself. He finds that woman to be very attractive and beautiful. He goes back to his councilmen, and he inquires about her. He wants to know who she is. And one of them tells him, David, this woman is married to Uriah, a Hittite soldier in your army. And at that moment, right there in David's life, he should have stopped. David, being a married man as well, should have realized that she was off limits. He should have turned and just walked the other way, but he didn't. He allowed the temptation of sin to enter into him. He called for her and asked that she be brought to the palace, and so she was. And the Bible simply says that they lay together. It says in verse 4 that she was unclean afterwards, which meant that the two of them knew that they had committed sin, the sin of adultery. But when her time of uncleanliness was finished, she returned home, and David went about his life, thinking that all was well. And it wasn't for a short time until a letter arrived from Bathsheba to David, and it said to him, quite, David, I'm pregnant. David knows now that no sin in this world can be hidden. And that is an important thing to remember. No matter how much you think sin is put away, it will find a way to come back in life and remind you of its ever presence until you deal with it and deal with it properly. David does what so many of us do after sin. He attempts to hide it. It's a common characteristic of human beings. In fact, we can look back at the very first two people on this planet, put there by God in the garden, Adam and Eve. And after they sinned by taking part of the tree, the fruit of life, the very first thing they attempted to do was to hide themselves from God. And David's cover-up, quite simply, goes like this. He begins with, he'll bring Uriah home. He'll give Uriah an extended stay with his wife. Uriah will stay with her, and he'll return back to the battle. And after a few months, when he returns home, hopefully more than 9 months later, there'll be a happy baby boy there bouncing around for him. And he'll think none the wiser of it. So he brings Uriah to him, and they eat, and he asks for word news on the battle, and afterwards tells him to go home and be with his wife, enjoy a comfort of stay. But Uriah is a good man. Uriah's colleagues and friends are in battle, risking their lives on a day-to-day basis. Uriah doesn't feel it's right to return home to his wife and enjoy some comforts of home that the people that he fights with so bravely every day don't enjoy themselves. So Uriah goes and sleeps with the servants that night in the palace. And David finds out about it in the morning, and he's upset. So he brings Uriah back in to feed him and give him strong drink. And after he thinks Uriah's had enough, he sends him back. And Uriah once again does not return to his wife Bathsheba. He instead sleeps in the servants' quarters. And now David has a real problem on his hands, because it won't be long until people start to find out this sin that he has committed. There is nothing more sad than a man with a guilty conscience. Some of the things that a man can do when he has a guilty conscience and he's afraid of being caught for what he has done can create more problems. We're about to see here as David's sin of adultery is going to continue to build and lead up to an even greater sin. He tells Uriah, he writes him a letter, and he tells him to deliver it to Joab in the battlefield. And Uriah does that. And the letter quite simply says, send Uriah into battle somewhere where he will not be able to live. I need him dead. Joab does this and carries it out as he was commanded by David. And Uriah dies in a battle. He is sent in to fight in a portion of the city where the strong men were at, and the city was fortified well. And while the armies were up there, they were asked to retreat back. And several men died, and one of them including was Uriah. Job sends a messenger to David to tell David what has happened. David begins to be angry. Why would my armies attack such a fortified place of the city? This makes no sense. And David, the messenger stops David and says, well, I'm told to tell you that your servant, the Hittite Uriah, was killed in this battle. And David begins to calm himself and tell them, well, quite simply, go back and strengthen your battle plan. Prepare better and harden your men, and surely victory will follow us. So the messenger does that. And the Bible tells us in verse 26 that when the wife of Uriah heard Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. That is a very light way of saying it displeased the Lord, because the Lord was very angry with David. And we will soon find out about that. That brings us to the story and a new character in this story, and that is Nathan. Nathan is a prophet. A prophet that knows that it is easier for us to see the sins of others sometimes than it is for us to see the sins in ourselves. And he realizes that with David. David thinks he's hidden this sin and it's covered up and nobody will ever be the wiser and that he's gotten away with it. And Nathan is tasked with the duty of teaching David the errors of his ways. Nathan comes in and he tells David, "We have a big problem in our kingdom. Things are not going well, David." And David asks to hear what's the matter. Nathan tells him, "There is a man that lives not too far from here. He has many herds and a lot of sheep. And he's a very wealthy man. And his neighbor is just a poor man that does not have a lot. But his family has managed to buy one small baby lamb. His children enjoy this lamb. They sleep with it and feed it, treat it as a pet and as a sibling to their family. Well, the rich man one day was having a visitor come to stay with him. And the rich man did not want to sacrifice his one lamb for this visitor, or sacrifice one of his lambs for this visitor. So he walked over to his neighbor's house and took the little baby ewe lamb home and butchered it and served it for dinner." The Bible says David's heart began to anger greatly and kindled against this man. He said, "Whoever this man is, he shall surely die for this." One of the greatest statements in the Bible, Nathan simply looks at David and tells him, "Thou art the man, thus saith the God of Israel." David had seen something he wanted, something that did not belong to him, and he took it. He killed a man to try to cover up his sins. He committed adultery not only on David's wife, but with his own family, because David was married and had wives and children. Excuse me one second. I got ahead of my notes. We're going to read verses 7 through 12, and it says, and this was the part where I was mentioning to you where it said that God was displeased, and that was a very light way of putting it. "And Nathan said unto David, Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house. Because thou hast despised me, thou hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes. I will give them to thy neighbor, that they shall lie with thy wives in sight of the sun. For thou did this in secrecy, but I will do these things before all of Israel and the sun to see." God is angry with David. God is not going to hide his wrath towards sinners. He will punish us accordingly to what we have done. And David, if you read on to continue the story of David, the sword never left the house of David. He fought continually to the end of his life. The son that he and Bathsheba created in adultery died shortly after it was born. And David's life was never quite the same, and he never reached the heights again that he once had. But this part brings us right back to Psalms 51, which is the repentance that David asked for the sins in which he had committed. We're going to read the text, one verse at a time, cover them individually. And there's a lot here that we need to learn. David says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." That is one of three words that I want to mainly focus on this morning, which is transgressions, iniquity, and sin. Transgressions quite simply means to step over the line, to cross a boundary that was put there. We step over boundaries. God gives us the boundaries for human behavior. In the Old Testament, it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Jesus tells us in the New Testament, it's not just adultery of the physical nature, it's the sexual aspects of the mind and body as well. We read in the Old Testament, "Thou shalt not kill." But then we learn in the New Testament as well, that includes the whole area of abuse to others, our words and the oppression of others that we can do to other people, as well as just kill someone. David says in the second verse, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins." Iniquity means immoral, twisted, or grossly unfair behavior. And sin, one of the easiest and best definitions of sin, is quite simply missing the mark, an action that is highly reprehensible. What David is asking for here, and notice in these two verses, he never mentions the sins that he committed. He knows that he needs forgiveness for those sins, but he's going much deeper than that. He's asking God to blot out the times that he has crossed the line. He's saying, "Wash me thoroughly of my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins." He understands with iniquities that it's something inside of him that is making him behave and act the way he is doing. And he's asking God to thoroughly wash that out of him. Verse 3 says, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." What David is saying here is he understands that he's constantly and continually faced with the sins and the problems that he has in his life. And simply saying sorry just will not be enough to fix this problem. He knows what he has done is wrong, and he knows if he just says sorry for it, he'll more than likely do it again. He is asking the Lord to go in and fix him completely, make him whole again, make him a good Christian. "Against thee and only thee have I sinned and done this evil. In thy sight thou might in thy sight that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest me." David is acknowledging here, he said, that I have sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We cannot blame others for our sins or for our actions. And we cannot have forgiveness until we fully understand that we are the ones that committed the sins. We cannot blame someone else for the things that we have done wrong in this world. David couldn't have simply said it was Bathsheba's fault, but that wouldn't have asked for or justified any forgiveness. Because it wasn't quite simply just Bathsheba's fault, it was David's fault as well. Much like Adam and Eve in the garden, Adam could have blamed Eve and Eve could have blamed the serpent, but the serpent wouldn't have had much of a leg to stand on. Sorry. I heard that joke the other day, thought it'd be funny. "Against thee and only thee have I sinned." David is announcing that he, or claiming, acknowledging that he has sinned against God and only God, because God has put the boundaries in the world for David to follow, and he has stepped away from them or over them. Verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." This verse took me a long time to understand because it just did not make sense to me the first few times that I read it. And after a lot of studying, one of the best descriptions of this verse that I could come up with is that David is going back to a troubled life. These sins are not just something that occurred because of a strong temptation that happened once. These sins are something that he has been battling with his entire life, but he's always been able to overcome them. But for some reason at this point in his life, these sins have gotten the better of him. Perhaps it's because of his position. We're not really sure, but they did get the best of him, and he's not asking God to just forgive them now. He wants them to go back and take care of every little thing inside of him from when these sins began in his life and fix them. In verse 6, we read, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts shalt thou make me to know wisdom." Here David is asking God to heal his soul and his conscience and his heart, make him strong again, forgive him of the sins that he has committed, fix the things that are wrong with him inside and out so that he can go through life and not have to struggle against these sins or succumb to them ever again. In conclusion today, we need to know to fix our sins fast, as soon as they happen. Repent and make them right. Don't cover it up or try to hide it, because the sins will only come back again. Search for the root causes and fix them as well. We need to study and know exactly what happens and what caused us to do these things. We need to fix the problem with the sins so that they do not occur again. And lastly, God always knows our sins. We might think they are hidden. We might have put them away so far that we can't never remember them. But they are known. God knows them. And someday we will have to answer for them. And it's far best to answer and repent here on earth before it is too late. I'd ask any of you, if you have any sins this morning that are weighing heavy on your shoulders, that you go ahead and make them right today. You've heard the Word of God this morning, and if you believe the Word of God, you need to repent and confess your sins. If you've not been baptized, please ask, and we will baptize you today for the remission of your sins, so that one day you can enter into the kingdom of heaven of God. That is my lesson that I have for you this morning. I do hope that you take, this is such a small sample and portion of the story of repentance throughout the Bible. There are many other examples we can learn from. And I would ask that you go home and study for yourself. Find a topic that you like and research it. I learned more in this sermon than you could possibly imagine about how to fix problems, not only just in my life, but in other things that I've seen around this world. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. I do appreciate it. And that is the conclusion of my lesson. If you need any of the prayers of the church, please come forward while we stand and sing.